When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wanna go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Boys Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 376 of The Big Show. Some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. Well, how's everybody doing out there? Another wild Wednesday. Hump day are almost there, folks. Weekend's right around the corner. Yeah, how you guys doing? Miss Sunday's episode was, I was on the IR. I was a scratch in the lineup. I was out of the lineup. a little bout of food poisoning, it got me. And, I don't want to blame the Taco Bell, but, it got me. But, so I was down and out there for a day and a half or so. And, I think I'm down about 8 pounds. So, you know, getting ready for beach season. I just need to get food poisoning like 9 more times. Now I'll be ready to go. So that wasn't fun. And, it kind of had cleared up by Saturday night, but, that point, to be completely honest, I really wasn't in the mood to record anything. So, anyway, and it's just been, as the spring turns the summer here and starts ramping up, obviously work gets busy and, and then of course I missed Friday work. So and then the truck broke down. I was about 2 days behind. So, but anyway, I'm sure everybody tuned in to hear about my food poisoning and my work schedule. So, but anyway, we're here now. So, Let's get on with it. It's the playoff edition. Although I did get my bets right for round one. All the home teams won the first two nights. So, won a couple bets there. So I'm off to a hot start betting wise, but, I told Tim, put the bet in on the Jets. Now all of a sudden he's texting me right when the game's going on. He's got his doubts already. You know, Jets are up one game to nothing. They're up right now for game two. List guy Tim puts his bets in, and then all of a sudden he starts texting me. He's following me on my bets because I said I was gonna put a bet in on the Jets to win the Cup. And I did, but the problem with that is, and I didn't think this through, is their path to the Cup. It's pretty tough. Well, starting right off the gate with Colorado, right? So although Winnipeg owned Colorado during the regular season, so. But they're up one game to nothing, and they're up 2-1 at the end of the period as I record here tonight. Tim, we got this. Don't worry. But, social media. I mean, that's probably Tim texting me now. Here, talk amongst yourselves while I check this text. No, I was going to say with social media right now, it's, oh boy. Just ramp up the stupid. Oh, everyone cry. And it doesn't matter about hockey, but just sports in general, just the world in politics, the world in general. Oh, everything's rigged. Oh, yeah, the refs are, it's rigged. The league's rigged. Yeah. Well, as soon as something doesn't go the way you want, it's rigged. It's like, oh, shut up. It's like, is everything just tinfoil hat bullshit now? Like, just every bozo's got to have a conspiracy or whatever. It's not a conspiracy, man. I'm just a critical thinker, bro. No, you're not. Just because you ask a question or you question something doesn't make you a critical thinker. Critical thinking, an unbiased look. Look into it. No, you're not a critical thinker there. Fucking Marner boy, 38. Like, no, you're not. Ugh. I do. I hate sports fans. Just a bunch of clowns. Just clowns. Ugh. Then the NFL draft is going on and coming up here. And yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know. I'm just a bitter old sports fan. I'm not even really a sports fan anymore. Well, no, I shouldn't say that's not true. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate how hard sports is, I guess. I appreciate the athletes and the athleticism, and I know how hard the sport is to play, whatever it may be. So that I can appreciate, but just the outside buffoonery that goes with it. And it's like, well, I guess it's social media because it's given every idiot a voice and every... I said all these fans watch all these videos and 24-hour fucking coverage and everything else. And like they say, it's given them enough information just to make them a little dangerous, you know, and they think they know. Like, oh, like the other night, like Reeves and Maroon are skating center ice, right? Skating the red line. And somebody, of course, films it because, God forbid, we, you know, you miss anything. Everybody's got to film everything. And all these clowns are online talking. And then, like, you read their comments. They're talking like this is new shit. Like, this shit's been going on for decades. But it's, I don't know what Reeves is doing. He's not even going to play. You know, it's just, You know, and then McElrath gets into it a little bit with Rempe, and because I mean, what would an episode be without talking about Rempe? And then it's laugh at all these fans now, because of course now Rempe's he's a somebody now. I don't have anything wrong with the kid. In fact, he scored the first goal. I laughed actually, but they're like, yeah, Rempe's not going to deal with it. Who's this McElrath? He's a nobody. I'm like, well, he's played four times as many NHL games as Rempe has, and he was a first round pick. Like, okay, enough with you know. Who is this nobody? Okay, sure. Meanwhile, yeah, let's talk like Rempe's Mark Messier or something. Like, okay. It's just stupidity. And then after the period today, mayhem might break out in the Washington New York series. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I said it. Yeah. 30 guys standing around talking, chirping each other like it's fucking season 3 of Shoresy. You know, that's all they do. I said, that's all they do is talk. Talk, 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 chirp, 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 chirp. Nobody's going to do anything. So what, you know, but all these fans get worked up. Oh, and he should get a 10-minute misconduct. And wasn't Tom Wilson in the penalty box? And he's now out of the penalty box. That's a suspension. And for what exactly is going on the screen that you're suspending people for? Like, you fucking losers. Like, oh... Just whine. I see Panarin, of course, drilled Oshie here. That was a good hit, actually. I laugh in the playoffs. All of a sudden, these gutless wonders become like they're killers now. You know, Panarin hadn't probably thrown a body check all regular season, but, you know. But, hey, come playoff times, everybody will hit, right? But, yeah, there's Oshie skating, looking at his laces, and old the bread man caught him. Yeah, oh, watch, all the Washington fans are outraged. The funny thing was, is if Tom Wilson had thrown that hit, holy shit, they would have given 5 games for it. Yeah, but, oh yes, playoff hockey, alive and well. Oh, God. Yeah, bunch of nothing. But whatever. As long as Winnipeg wins the cup and I win my bet, I'll be happy. But what are we talking about? What are we going to talk about this episode? I just sort of went off there on a little rant. Oh, and could Twitter be a shittier app now? Thanks, Elon. Yeah, wrecked that one. I remember when Twitter used to be good. Now it's just a cesspool. It always was. I take that back. Social media is a cesspool anyway. Twitter was always that. But, I mean, now the feed just sucks. I'm just like, I'm getting tweets from people I don't follow. And it's just, the app's just junk now. But, yeah, it's like the Tesla truck. But, ugh. But follow me on social media, Fourth Line Voice on Twitter as well as on Facebook. If you happen to be on YouTube, Fourth Line Voice, I have over 2,000 fights on my channel. Subscribe to the channel, please. If you watch a video you like, give it a thumbs up. And if you guys are listening to this episode, please download the episodes. Don't stream. Not only myself, but everybody at the network. Actually, any podcast that you listen to, well, except for maybe Rogan's or whatever. I'm sure they're not desperate for your downloads. But if you're listening to a smaller podcast, download their show because that helps them. It helps the numbers. It helps in the algorithms. So that's a little something, as I always say, as listeners, the free things that you can do to help. Like, you listen to the podcast, you enjoy it, well, help out that creator. Not only myself, but anybody. You download it. Also rate and review the show, or at least review it on the stars on iTunes or on Spotify. Because again, helps out the algorithms, and the platform loves the interaction with fans. It's the same thing with YouTube. If like you leave comments and videos, YouTube loves that shit. Like, you know, when you're watching a YouTube video and on the right side, it's like related videos. Well, that's how you get in on the related videos, is if people like your stuff or view it or review it or thumbs up or all that stuff. So like I always say, it's the little things as listeners and viewers that you can do that helps out creators. So if you could do that, that would be tremendous. But yeah, as I said, I'm a member of the Hockey Podcast Network, over 100 shows on the network. Yeah, if you're actually watching, if you're a fan of the Bruins or the Rangers, or if one of your teams is in the playoffs and you want to watch it, you can watch it, but you should go to YouTube and check out the Hockey Podcast Network. Those guys, they're kind of doing streaming shows, and the podcast creators of the Rangers, say they're live streaming and watching the game. And I think if you're a fan of that, you know, get in there and interact with fellow fans. I think you'd have fun while the game was on, but. So check that option out. But yes, I am on the original content creator side. Myself, Terry Ryan, Joe Lozito of the Coliseum Chronicles. Old TR. I saw the trailer for Shorzy Season 3 is out now. So that was pretty cool. And I'm really looking forward to that. I love the TV show Shorzy. It's fun. I love to see Morasty on there and Alex Penner making a date. You know, I know Brett Gallant was doing some filming. I think he'll be in Season 3, and Bosse is in Season 3, and get the boys some work. I love it. Cool. But check that out. And then old Joe Lozito, he has just released his part 2 with Gord Dineen. Salty blue liner there, got some great stories. Check out Joe's back catalog, like Fakota, Strudwig, Asham, Dean Ewan, on and on. Great stuff there. And Jolton Joe. Hey, Joe on the once the playoffs are over, I know he's glued to a set with the Islanders battling Carolina. Once that wraps up, I think I'll get Joe back on the show, and we'll talk about a few things. But yes, definitely check that out. And I have a new ad read that I have to do for DraftKings here. After I'm recording this episode, I'm gonna have to go back and record the ad read that I'm about to drop in right here, right now. Oh, it's the power of editing, folks. But if you want to make some playoff bets, DraftKings, use the promo code THPN, pick up a bonus, throw it down, take the chance. Yeah, I don't know about the Jets. I just like the odds in the Jets. Well, the only reason I took the, and like I don't follow hockey or whatever, but I know the Jets have Hellebuck there, the goalie or whatever. He's pretty solid. So I always say goaltending is going to win you the cup. So that was literally the only reason I took the Jets. I couldn't tell you one player on their team. Well, actually, that's not true. Adam Lowry. I like Adam Lowry. But other than that, I don't know anybody. I don't know. Does Paul McDermott still play for the Jets? Damn it, he should. Actually, seriously, though, William, I noticed, had put a bunch of Paul McDermott hits up on the Facebook group, the videos of the McDermott hits. Oh, what a beauty, man. McDermott used to run around. I was a big fan of Paul McDermott. That guy hit like a truck, man. Oh, tremendous. Little Jets team there. Throwing a little Peter Tagliannetti, maybe. Cronin the Barbarian. You know, who else? We have the old Jets. Well, you had Domi and King back in the day. I don't. It was weird, actually, growing up, you know, when I was a kid. I was never a Jets guy, never an 80s Jets fan. Well, they were always sort of the bridesmaids, right? Like, I always felt bad for them. They'd get into the playoffs, they'd have a pretty decent season, they'd end up playing the Oilers right away and just getting smoked or whatever, but those dynasty Oiler teams. But yeah, I mean, you had the Oilers and the Flames, the Battle of Alberta, and then you just had the Jets and the Canucks. And in the 80s, I was never a fan of either of those teams, you know, I don't know, like Howard, Chuck, and all them. And, you know, but I did like it when the Jets picked up King and Domi. That was pretty good. And they had, but they had Dean Kennedy and stuff. And at the time, I wasn't a big fan of old Sean Cronin, but as Father Time has gone on and I look at it through older eyes, I can appreciate it. Plus, he had the Cronin the Barbarian, was just such a tremendous nickname, but had a good rivalry with Dave Brown. But yeah, what were we talking about? I'm just rant rolling on tonight, just yapping, sitting here in the dark, yammering away. Oh, but ad read. Well, we'll get to my ad read. Get knee deep. We'll do the ad read here, and then we'll get into the show, shall we?
And now, here's a word from our sponsor.
The chase for the Stanley Cup is on. If you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beards all the way to hoisting the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Yeah, it depends. If you want to bet on the futures, who's going to win the cup? Carolina right now, plus 425. Maybe Florida, plus 500. Look at the Bruins-Toronto series. Home teams basically get 1.5 points puck line. Yeah, always look into that. Going to be a tight series. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the promo code THPN. New customers bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only at DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of the Boot Hills Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
All right, folks. Well, what do we? Well, since it's the playoff edition, I figured that'll be. What we'll kind of, I went through my list, and actually this one I had sent to me recently, and yes, it is the, where I wrote the title down, the NHL playoffs, the 12 nastiest fights in Stanley Cup playoff history. So yeah, we'll check that out. We'll do some tough guy numbers, I kind of already ranted about, the social media idiots and everything else, and I probably won't go on long about that, but I don't know if I mentioned this last episode or not, but it's worth mentioning again if I did. Sorry, folks, I do so many episodes, all my shit runs together, but Daniel Amesbury in Fort Wayne won the Community Service Award, and congratulate Daniel for that, and hey man, it's cool giving back to the community, and yeah, that was cool to see. So getting recognized and doing some great work at Fort Wayne. It's going to be interesting. I know listening to, Amesbury does the podcast with AJ Gallant, who I have been talking to here the last couple of days through text message. I'm going to get AJ on and. Got a few things to talk to him about, but they call it Talking Trash Podcast. And I know I was listening to it in the truck the other day, and Amesbury, he's going to continue playing. He's actually heading to Denver this summer to work out with the Parkers and do some training down there. I'm sure there'll be some Avalanche players and such bouncing around down there. Going forward, we'll see what happens. I don't know if he'll be back at Fort Wayne or what's going on. Because, I mean, obviously everything's one-year deals and everything. So, who knows. But it's cool to see him continue down his hockey journey. And, looking forward to see where he ends up. So, that'll be cool. Other than that, guys. I'm looking at my list here. I got Bacharach, Rempe, Scrum at the end of the period. Reeves, Social media morons. Shit, I already talked about all this stuff. We're only at the 16-minute mark. I guess that was my rambling. It was on my mind, so I figured I'd start, I figured I'd start yapping about it. But, oh yes, the, tough guy numbers. As I was saying before, if you're on, up on Twitter, it's at tough guy numbers. And basically, that's exactly what it is. Throws out just different stats and stuff. You guys listen to the show. You've heard me reference his channel before. I should be looking up more. I used to go on his stuff all the time and it was like, yeah, and I realized it's like, it was the other episode. I was like, yeah, but I've been on here lately, but, yes, tough guy numbers put up the most major penalties in an NHL postseason. The 81-82 Canucks, 84-85 Nordiques, and 87-88 Bruins all had 35 major penalties. There isn't going to be 35 major penalties in this entire playoff with everybody. And that was just one team. The 79-80 Islanders at 34, 85-86 Blues at 31, 81-82 Blackhawks 29, 87-88 Devils 29, 84-85 Blackhawks 27, the 79-80 Bruins 26, 73-74 Flyers 26, 84-85 Flyers 26, and the 83-84 Oilers 26. So, yeah, that is tremendous. 81-82 Canucks averaged two major penalties per game in the playoffs, and the 84-85 Nordiques had just under two per game. Yeah, it's pretty crazy actually when you think about it to what it's become. But Dave Schultz set an NHL playoff record for most penalty minutes of one game with 42. Two minors, two majors, a 10-minute misconduct, two game misconducts as Toronto beat the Flyers 8-5 in game 6 of the quarterfinals in 1976. There you go. I'm just kind of scrolling and, you know, throw out numbers as they come up. But yeah, check out, tough guy numbers on Twitter or X. I know it's X. I'm always going to call it Twitter though, but tremendous. He does a great job and, I appreciate it. And that was the last episode when I talked about the fighting major totals for team totals in the season. He hooked me up with those. I appreciate that, taking the time to do that. And, yeah, there you go. 35 fighting majors in the playoff. Yeah. Well, speaking of playoffs, I had this, this cat send me, an article, from May 5th. It's older. It's from Bleacher Report. I have not looked at it. Like I said, he just sent me the link. I never look at these before I go on the air because I want to discover them with you guys. So that way my reaction is, genuine. So, yes. All right. Well, I know we're at the 20-minute mark. I don't know if this list is going to be that long, but it's going to be a rather short episode tonight, folks. Like I said, we're bouncing back from some flu-like symptoms here over the last couple of days. So I really hadn't had a lot. I just really wasn't like the podcast really wasn't on my mind as I was sick. But, and then, like I said, with work, I had to catch up. So, like I said, my notes and my preparation was a little behind, but I knew I had this list, and of course with the play being obviously the playoffs and stuff, so I kind of figured it obviously it would be timely, so I would cover it. But I know I keep saying it, but I have talked to some individuals, and there's going to be some guests in the next couple episodes, so you won't just have to listen to me yammer on. You can listen to other people yammer on. So, yes. And folks, I should point this out. I was shaking the trees today in the bushes and sending out texts to a whole bunch of different people. I was getting to the, cause it was just kind of, I had that feeling like, you know what I need? I need some ice wars in my life. I want a fight tournament in my life. I miss ice wars. So I reached out, sent out some emails. I'm like, text messages. I'm like, when and if is ice wars 4 ever going to happen? What's going on? And, I got some, you know, nothing concrete, but I got some rumors from a few people I heard, you know, and, was told about a couple things from a few. Then I talked to a couple of important people behind the scenes, and there is an announcement coming shortly, and it actually looks like kind of a multi, perhaps a multi-show announcement. So maybe we'll be seeing, hearing about Ice Wars 4, 5, 6, and 7, you know, and we'll have dates on them or something. And then maybe a partnership might be happening, folks. That's all I'll say at this point, because, you know, it's not my position to, and I have not been, you know, I'm waiting to hear it from the horse's mouth, but I talked to a few people, and of course we were gossiping like little schoolgirls, but they had heard a few things and had dates to sort of back it up, or had evidence to sort of like, I'm hearing this and this is going on, and it's like, eh, it makes sense. And so we'll see what happens. But until I hear it from the organizers and stuff, I'm not going to announce it. But if, I guess, what is it? Said rumors are true, and with some of the partnerships that might be happening, I think it's good. It's going to be a real cool move, and we'll be back in business with Ice Wars, and which I look forward to. And I've always said, and I've said this to both guys involved. I know, because AJ obviously isn't involved in Ice Wars anymore. Him and Charlie went their separate ways, and you know, and I've said to both guys, I said, you know, I'm just about fight tournaments and the boys getting a payday and fight fans being entertained. And I'm here to report about it. I'm not going to say a reporter or media, but I'm just a fight fan with the show. And I talk about hockey fights and what's going on past, you know, present and future. And if a hockey fight event is on, no matter who is putting it on, I'm going to report on it and talk about the fighters involved and try to get them on to talk about it, get the promoter on to talk about it, and I will promote the event no matter who's putting it on. So I said, I'm Switzerland in this. I'm in the middle. And again, I'm not saying because AJ said this or Charlie said, no, they haven't at all. No one's said anything to me about the other guy. Not at all. They're businessmen. They're professionals. They know what's going, you know, they're whatever. But I'm just, I'm not, because I know AJ and Amesbury have talked about Major League hockey fights. They want to start at kind of a different league and or a different tournament or whatever. I will support that wholeheartedly and promote that and the fighters involved and have AJ or whoever on that's in charge of it and talk about it. And same thing with Ice Wars when it comes out. And if it gets announced, I'll have Charlie back on here and have the fighters back on for that event. Like I said, I'm just a fan of the whole fight thing. The fight, the hockey fight genre, it doesn't matter to me. And like I said, I've had both AJ and Charlie on this show and met them both at Ice Wars and talked about, they both have shown me nothing but respect and always up to talk and return text messages. And we've had good back and forth. So, hey, I got no problem with it. It's not my fight, right? It's not, I'm good with either guy. So, like I said, I'm just a fight fan reporting the news. So, I am comfortably sitting here in the middle. I am not picking sides. I am a fan of all of it. And I hope AJ and them get theirs off the ground and going and it's successful. Just like I hope Ice Wars is successful. And cause you know who wins in all this? The fans. If you're fans of those events, we're the ones that win. And the guys that are participating win because they get, you know, they get to fight and, you know, participate and get paid. And hey, the more the merrier, right? So, yeah. Because somebody actually asked me that the other day. We were talking about it. And I just wanted to kind of make that clear again that, you know, I support both any fight tournament I support and any and anybody taking part of it, taking part in it, I support. So it's not my fight and, I'm staying out of it. So, but like I said, both guys have been professionals with me. So, but I will definitely be having AJ on here. We're just setting up a time. I know he's a busy dude, and there's like a 2-hour time difference and that time difference always, the time zone is always tough, right? You know, you work and I'm getting home and it's like dinner time at them and it's like, oh shit. So we're going to try to work some time out here, but I think when I'm going to have AJ on, I mean, we'll talk about the new fight venture and stuff. And, But I also want to do, you know, because everybody, whenever they talk with AJ, it's always like, oh, Danbury and the, you know, the documentary and blah, you know, all that stuff. But I I've had him on. I already had AJ on before and we talked about all that. But I think it's time I'm going to talk to, I said, AJ the fan, the hockey fight fan. And we will get him to do 10 questions, the 10 rapid fire questions. And, you know, and I know he's a boxing promoter. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that. And just basically with the actually fight events, I have a few questions. Like, just, you know, like we all, like I said, we all sit here on the sidelines and kind of, well, I would have done this and I would have done that. It's like, well, logistics and everything. It'll be interesting. I have a few, just some behind the scenes questions, just, you know. So we'll get into all that with AJ. So, actually, if anybody listening out there, if you have any questions that you'd like to ask AJ, I mean, I'm sure you can do it on social media, but if you're not on social media and you want to ask him a question or something, it doesn't matter if it's about the dog or whatever, drop me a line. I'll ask him. I'll ask it on the air for you. Sure. No problem. So, if you're not on social, well, if you're on social media, send me a DM because they're open, as the kids say. But if you're not on social media, send me an email, hockeyfights@hotmail.com. And, not just if it's a question, but if you just have something to say, anybody out there, if you have a story to tell or pictures to share, I'm a big fight picture fan, as people know. So I'd love to see anything that if you have a picture, I'd love to see it. You know, especially minor league or junior stuff or whatever. If you're looking for pictures, let me know. I have tens of thousands saved. So, but yeah, I'd love to hear from all you guys. So yeah, if you got something to say, good, bad, or otherwise, drop me a line. Love to hear from you. But, how about we get into this? I've been pumping this up here now for 10 minutes. Let's get into this list here. All right. We'll open it up here. Riley Kafta for the Bleacher Report. May 15th, 2012. So it's a little old. Oh, shit, it's 12 years old now. Colorado took the lead. I can see there's a scoring going on above this. Okay. The NHL has had more... I can read. We'll start again. The NHL has more than its share of fighting, but in the playoffs, it becomes a rare occasion. This could be due to the fact that the real scrappers and goons didn't get ice time during the playoffs, or simply that spending 5 minutes in the box and possibly you have an instigator or an injury is simply too costly to the team. Regardless of the reasons, playoff fights don't happen every day, but when they do, there are some of the most entertaining fights in the game. During the playoffs, we rarely see players drop the gloves simply to get players and fans into the game. They do it when they're truly angry or frustrated or taking exception on a previous hit. The following is a list of some of the best and nastiest fights in playoff history. All right, well, here we go. I'm excited. We will, all right, scroll down. Number 12. Todd Bertuzzi versus Shea Weber. All right, well, they surely are nastier playoff fights in history than this one. It had added... many reasons. First, the head slam by Shea Weber on the wings forward. Zetterberg is incredibly nasty and without a doubt was what sparked the bout. In addition, this fight really shows what the playoffs are all about. The goons aren't always in the lineup and take exceptions, so the key players have to step up and go at it. Lastly, and most importantly, that has to be symbolized how many fans believe the game should be played. Brendan Shanahan was not shy when it came to dishing out suspensions this past season. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, Shanahan was a discipline guy. But it didn't seem to make a difference. The dirty hits kept coming and players did not change the way it was played. Funny, but I thought Peros was a goon. He didn't get it. I guess Shanahan, the Hall of Famer, didn't either. Interesting. In this case, Shanahan failed to discipline Weber for the dirty hit, and Bertuzzi took the responsibility upon himself. Perhaps that's the way the game is meant to be played. Yes, it is. Oh, I should have pointed out in my little intro there, or not my intro, but his intro, they didn't fight. Well, clearly, you know, oh, they used to fight in the playoffs lots, as Tough Guy Numbers pointed out. This is the narrative that the media guys, and of course younger fans, love to throw out these days is like, oh, they don't fight in the playoffs anymore. It's not worth it. They can't do it. They never fight in the playoffs. Well, no, in your lifetime, they didn't fight in the playoffs. When hockey was actually fun to watch and decent in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, they did though. But But no, in your time they didn't, and of course it's because it's better now. Yeah, all right, sure. Bertuzzi and Weber. All right, hold on, I'm gonna pause it here. Okay, it came back. Yeah, I wanted to go to YouTube. Like I said, I haven't looked at this list ahead of time, so I don't know what the fights were. So I'm gonna pause it. I went to YouTube and watched the fight. Yeah, fight sucked. I don't know what this guy's talking about. Nasty fights. It was, I mean, yeah, it's two star players fighting and it was, you know, whatever. I mean, it needed to happen. I guess if that's, you know, if Weber did mess up Zetterberg, you know, good on Bertuzzi for going out there and fighting him and whatever, righting the wrongs, I guess. But, you know, Weber didn't fight much and Bertuzzi, for all the Moore thing and everything else that everybody likes to talk like he's some killer, Bertuzzi really couldn't fight. Bertuzzi sucked as a fighter, and yeah, this really wasn't much, but okay, there we go. We're off to a hot start. Number 11, Ryan Clough versus Jordan Tutu. All right, April 13th, 2007. In this playoff game between San Jose and Nashville, the young scrapper Tutu comes into the aid of teammate Scott Hartnell. After getting pummeled by Clough, Tutu was probably wishing he hadn't stepped in for Hartnell, who's 11 pounds heavier and 5 inches taller. Okay. All right. Actually, this was a pretty good little tilt. They actually threw some pretty good shots at each other. Clough was going after Hartnell, and Tutu kind of jumped in. Man, I liked Ryan Clough. It's such a shame about the head injuries, man. What a solid, great, good start to the career, the power forward, and yeah, it's a shame. But yeah, and then Tutu, of course, the old Tutu trainees in there throwing, and yeah, that was a, you know, hey, that was, well, that was a much better fight than the Weber Petruzzi one was. Number 10, Roman Polak versus Justin Braun. What are we doing here? Seriously? April 14th, 2012. Although I will say, when I always do these lists, I always say, the shittier it is, it just makes it funny. But, okay. At the end of game two in the first round between the Blues and Sharks, tempers boiled over. Well, Vladimir Sobotka and Dominic Moore tussled on the open ice, and the rest scrummed in the corner. Braun circled the Blues trying to get at BJ Crombean. It probably wasn't. And any other willing participant. Eventually, Polak gets sick of Braun and teaches him a thing or two. All right, hold on. Okay, that was a bunch of nothing, all I will say. Yeah, Polak gave it to him a little bit, but I, this guy writing this article must literally be 18 years old. Number 9, Ferentz and Andrew Ferentz versus Corey Stillman. Okay, May 27th, 2004. Fights broke out in the 04 Stanley Cup Final. Ended up seeing a matchup between Stillman and Ferentz. That was a Ginland Cavalier too, right? Their 14th professional fight, including Western Hockey League for Ferentz, and just the third for Stillman. It doesn't take a genius to figure out how this one would end. While Stillman held his own for a few seconds, eventually the inexperience kicked in as Ferentz landed numerous decisive blows. Okay. All right. Yeah, he did. Now that I'm back from YouTube here. Yeah, I mean, scrums going on. Like I said, it's, I guess I can appreciate the list and or the guys fighting. It's a playoff. The guys are mad. I notice these are all older, 04, 07, and I can't believe that's 20 years ago already. I mean, I know the article's 12 years old, but I just can't believe this Ferentz Stillman fight's 20 years old. So I can appreciate the guys fighting and everything else, but it's just like, I just think of the history of, well, like I talked about 35 fights with the Nords and Bruins and all that. We're talking about Ferentz and Stillman and Polak and Braun. Like, Braun, I mean, I know I haven't seen the rest of the list, but I mean, we got to be getting into some, you know, some 70s Flyers, Islanders, Bruins shit soon, shouldn't we? We're talking Polak and Justin Braun. The list is funny, and, you know, and I'm enjoying, you know, going and checking out YouTube, because I haven't seen any of this shit. I will say I did enjoy the Clough Tutu fight. That was a good fight. I wouldn't put it on this list, but it was a good fight, and I like both guys. Well, and even the first, well, I don't like, I was never a Bertuzzi fan. I like Shea Weber, though. All right. Number eight. Sheldon Surrey versus Corey Sarich. Well, now I don't have to go to YouTube for this. I actually just watched this fight like 2 weeks ago. Surrey was on, what was he on? He was on a podcast of some sort, but somebody had put a bunch of Surrey fights up and I watched it. Yeah, he catches Sarich with a fucking left to the nose and that's the end of that. Many people forget Surrey was once a Montreal Canadian, let alone he was capable of handling it. Handling it to someone like this. Second round playoff bout, Surrey controls the pace of the fight before it lands one to Sarich's nose, ending it. While Surrey took the fight, Sarich got the last laugh to Tampa, swept the series, and went on to win the cup. What's truly remarkable is, according to the voting on hockeyfights.com, some delusional individuals actually think Sarich won the fight. Well, of course, have you seen hockey fight fans? They are delusional. A good chunk of them. Yeah, Surrey was a tough dude. Actually, Sarich was a big guy. Sarich could hit like a truck. I don't think he was much of a fighter, but you'd give it the old college try. But Surrey, tough dude. Didn't do a lot of fighting in the NHL, but this one, yeah, he definitely caught Sarich with a good left. Number seven, Scott Upshaw versus Tyler Kennedy. What are we doing here? May 11th, 08. Well, a lot of years... Well, a lot of this year's first-round hatred between the Flyers and Pittsburgh was sparked by the Joe Vidal hit on Daniel Briere and the scrum that ensued. This heated rivalry that goes way back. In 08, we saw a battle between the two teams in the Eastern Conference Final. I just laughed because way back. Obviously, the article was written in 2012. Way back is 2008. Okay. Kennedy and Marsh square off while both players land their fair share of haymakers. This one would have go to Tyler Kennedy. Props to Upshaw for hanging in there. Okay, hold on. Actually, it was cool. Both guys, they squared up and take their helmets off, actually, and they give her shit. But, I mean, it's not exactly task or sin or anything. I don't know if this is right up there in the history of playoff nasty fights. We're talking Scotty Upshaw, but all right. This I got to look back at who sent me this list. Whoever this is, we're off to a tremendous start here with this list. Oh, you jolly jokers! I got people sending me lists now, and I think they know that I enjoy the shitty... Like, I'm not mad about this. This is just funny to me, but I think they know... this just makes it funny. Plus, I will say it, and I found actually when the lists were really... When I've done lists, because I've always clearly done a million lists, but when I do some shitty lists, or they're funny like this and stuff, it actually creates conversation, because it gets people, oh, I can't believe they didn't include this one and this one, and you get people talking about it, so... or gets you, the listeners, thinking about, wow, I can't believe this one isn't on there. Well, most of the time the list is like, oh, the five toughest Leafs or whatever. And it's like, oh, I can't believe they forgot Fraser McLaren, you know, or whatever, right? So, it gets, while you're listening to it on your commute or in your cubicle at work, I guess if it gets people thinking, and I would have done, that's the point, I guess, but... I'm finding this amusing so far. Here we go. Number six, Eric Nesterenko versus John Ferguson, April 27, 65. The old-time original six matchup, Nesterenko-Chicago, dropped the mitts with Ferguson. Ferguson lands a devastating blow and continues to land punches despite Nesterenko being down and out. The result is a nasty cut in the face. Nesterenko had to leave the ice. One of the rare occurrences where a fight is one-sided that the losing player isn't even deserving of a fighting penalty. Montreal won the battle and the war in this case as they went on to win the Stanley Cup. Okay, hold on. I'm pretty sure this is on YouTube. Yes, it was. They clashed in the corner and actually Nesterenko brings his head stick down on Ferguson's head a little bit. But Fergie had the gloves off quick, man. Like a gunslinger back in the day. There was no Marcus of Queensbury, the code. That didn't happen back then. And, it's all Ferguson. I don't think Nesterenko even lands anything. And Ferguson, of course, catches him and puts him down and bloodies him up pretty good. Knocked him out or just TKO. But, Yeah, that's Fergie was nasty, man. That was hockey was prison rules back then. So, yeah, that was now that one was a nasty one. Okay, number five. Okay, here we go. McSorley Clark, obviously May 17th, 1993. McSorley made a long, nasty reputation being one of the dirtiest players in the history of the game. And with that, he had to stand up for himself quite a bit too. Well, okay. After a crushing blindside hit to Doug Gilmore. All right, not really, but. Cut across the middle, but McSorley and Clark went at it. The two landed more punches than you can count. Well, Marty did. Gilmore finally made it to his feet and proceeded to challenge the entire King's bench. Yeah, he didn't. When everything died down, the ice was left scattered with sticks and gloves and stained with blood and went down as one of the best playoff fights in history. Kings ended up winning the series in 7 games, but lost in the finals to Montreal. Yeah, I mean, this is obviously one of the most famous playoff fight. When you talk to people about it, Leaf fans will forever, oh, Clark killed McSorley. Oh, Wendell landed 2 punches. Marty landed the next 35. So if we're going by punch count, Marty clearly won the decision. Visually, Wendell won because he cut Marty up and, it was a black eye at the end of the day. I mean, it wasn't like Marty missed time or anything. I laughed. I had put a picture up actually yesterday of Wendell's actually as a rookie. One of his second fight with the Leafs. It was in preseason in 85. And he's fighting the newest Oiler, Marty McSorley, who's wearing number 34. You know, and then some guy goes, Marty doesn't even deserve to be in this picture. And I was just like, you know, yeah, he beats Wendell like a drum every time they fight. But I don't think so, bud. And I'm like, well, one guy's got 2 cups. You know, and I'm not knocking Wendell because Wendell is one of my favorite players of all time. But to act like McSorley was some idiot that, whatever. I mean, just because you're a little Leaf boy there, hey, was Marty a dirty motherfucker? Well, yeah. Well, his career ended because of it, of a stick incident. So, yeah, Marty was dirty, but Marty was one of the best enforcers of all time. And turned himself into a really solid player. And when that was enforcing, man, in the 80s and the 90s, that if you wanted to, you didn't mess with Gretzky and the boys. I mean, you had Marty there and early on, Semenko and stuff. That was enforcing. You can't do it anymore. And people nowadays clearly don't know what enforcing is. And Marty was it. When you look it up, I never said best fighter, but I said best enforcer. There's a difference. And Marty was a great enforcer, and he was a solid fighter, too. The fight with what he didn't blindside Gilmore. Gilmore cut across the middle. Now, Marty got him up high. And then Clark came in, as he should, and everybody did what they were supposed to do. Marty and Wendell landed the first couple like real beauty shots. Like you said, that's what blackened Marty's eye. But, after that, it was all McSorley. Like Marty landed, like I said, at least 20 punches afterwards. And Wendell just hung on but no damage to Wendell. Marty had a black eye. Oh, well, no one missed any time. Both did what they're supposed to do. But yeah, Gilmore challenging the bench. I always say Gilmore is a great player and everything else, but man, I'm not a Doug Gilmore fan. Great player and everything, but he was so gutless. I shouldn't say he wasn't gutless, but it was just like, he ain't fighting. And, we're talking like it was Winsick challenging the bench or something, like Gilmore challenged the King's bench. No, but I'm sure he did a lot of chirping. There was a lot of tension in that series, you know, and Burns was fired up at, Melrose and man, that was just 93, man. That was great hockey. Oh, yeah. Love it. 4, Quebec and Montreal, April 20th, 1984. Yes, the Good Friday Massacre. Yes, originally I had a slide title as Millard Chuck versus 78, who did actually fight if you look hard enough. But the truth is, the bench clearing brawl was such a mess. It's hard to pick just one fight. This brawl got down to as one of the longest and biggest in history, and as about everyone on the team got involved, including goaltenders. Yeah, the Hunter brothers almost went at it too. Yeah, I think the YouTube, this has got to be about 15-minute clip. I don't need to watch. I've seen this a bunch of times. I don't need to go to YouTube to watch this. And that, of course, that has, Slager popping, was it Hamel, right? Am I getting it right? Yeah, it was, no, I'm thinking of, but yeah, Slager and Hamel there, and, which was brutal, and, but hey, it's brawl, and like I said, the Hunters almost, Dale and Mark almost went at it, and Malarchuk, the other backup goalies are fighting, and, they had one at the end of the period, and it started again at the end, next period. Yeah, it was, yeah, that was something, man. And yeah, I think that was in the playoffs as wild, but yeah, I could definitely, that was definitely nasty for sure. That definitely belongs on the list. Number three, Semenko and Hunter, April 17th, 1983 Dave Semenko was one of the most prominent fighters in the game, as he displayed here, dropping the gloves to Tim Hunter, and was just about anyone else to cross the path. Hunter held his own against Semenko, but upon the fight being broken up, Semenko threw the last shot over the referees, sparking the ensuing line brawl. The Oilers went on to win this second round series, but eventually lost the Islanders in the final. Yeah, that was brutal. I was gonna say, they fought so many times, I'm like, which fight is this? You know, but I'm not good on dates and all that, but yeah, no, I remember this one clearly. Yeah, kind of, Semenko kind of starts it along the boards, and they get going, and Semenko's got like the big fro going and shit. Hunter always did well against Semenko, to be completely honest. You know, like a lot of, oh, Big Dave kicked everyone's ass. Ah, he didn't kick Hunter's ass. Like, you know, Hunter always did quite well against him. And, but Semenko was like, again, he's a mean bastard, man. He was out there sending messages. I mean, he'd knee lift and shit and all that. And with this one, the refs were getting in there and, you know, they let go of Semenko's right hand. And it's playoffs, love and war, man. It's, you know, it's no prisoners. And, no friends, and, it's Thunderdome. And he saw an opening, and he drills Hunter, puts him, you know, and Hunter goes down. Like, it's a good shot. And then Poplinski comes in, and, cause Semenko kind of does this, yeah, you know, kind of fist pump after he drills Hunter. Like, holy shit. And then, Poplinski comes in and kind of gets his gloves and sticks up high, and he drills Semenko, and then everyone piles in, and, Poplinski ends up fighting, I believe, Don Jackson. And, it's heated shit, man. They hated each other. And, I remember reading Semenko's book, and he talks about that fight, and he goes, I can't believe I missed Hunter's nose when I suckered him. I mean, he makes no bones about what he did. It was like, he's sending messages, and Semenko's a motherfucker, man. And, yeah, and it worked. He had a great career. And I mean, like I said, you know, people could sit there now and just pick it apart and all, it was cheap, he's Bush, the code and all this, but that shit didn't exist back then, boys. And now you could say that's good or bad or what have you, but that them's the facts, and that's how it was back then. And it was a jungle, and Semenko let him have it. So okay, now this list is heating up. Now we're okay, you're getting it here, kid. Number two, Claude LaForge, Noel Picard. Oh, yeah, the Blues thing. Yeah. The first round, yeah, 68 Stanley playoff. Noel Picard sucker punch Claude LaForge behind while standing on the outskirts of the scrum. It goes down as one of the most brutal and dirty plays in the history of the game. As Ed Snyder describes in this clip, this hit effectively ended LaForge's career, and he only played a few games thereafter. Okay, hold on. Okay, yeah, I wanted to just double check that. I mean, I've seen this. I just wanted to make sure that was it. Yeah. Yeah, that was brutal. And I know Ed Snyder, the Flyers owner there, has always said this is what led to the Flyers. This is what actually, that punch is what gave us the Broad Street Bullies. Because they said that would never happen again to a Flyer. And they made that, he made that promise as an owner. And, you know, here we are years later, you know, Schultz and Kelly and Selesky and Broad Street Bullies and Goon Hockey. And that really ushered in that tough guy era, because you know, the Bruins balked up, and then the, you know, the Islanders at Howitt and Nystrom and Gillies and Nystrom were obviously, you know, but you know what I'm saying, like, teams balked up and got guys, and it became an arms race. And but that was the thing, not like the three shifts and not play guys. I mean, you know, everybody can go on, but like O'Reilly's a great power forward, and then Winsick had 20 goals 1 year, and so did Jonathan, and Schultz had 20 1 year, and you know, so these guys weren't just three shift guys. But But this really started that fighter. And teams getting tough. Like, they were tough guys, obviously, in the 50s. There's always tough guys. But this really got it going when the Flyers amped it up, and it became kind of an in vogue thing. But yeah, that sucker punch was brutal, though, when you see the video. There is video of it on YouTube if you wanted to look it up. And number one, here we go. Wow, so this, I gotta say with this list, it's kind of been half and half here. So, you know, it hasn't been all shit, I'll say that. Number one. Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, okay, well, there you go. Bouchard and Jonathan, yeah, May 21st. I always forget that was a playoff fight. This is widely regarded as one of the most, if not the best fight of all time. Well, I don't know about best fight of all time, but okay. Stanley Cup Final 78, final two between Bouchard, the Canadiens, considerably smaller Jonathan, the Bruins. Despite the size discrepancy, Jonathan destroyed Bouchard. Well, okay. No, he didn't, but all right. Leaving him lying on the ice in a bloody mess. Those wondering, Bouchard was 6'2", 205, Jonathan 5'8", 175, likely the best pound-for-pound fighter of all time. How he handles Bouchard is quite similar to the late Rick Rippon of the Canucks. May he rest in peace. I will say, the thing with Bouchard and Jonathan, I was like, visually at the end, when Bouchard is really bleeding all over the ice and it covers the linesman there. And yeah, I mean, that's a pretty, you know, but it's a broken nose. I mean, millions of guys have had their nose broken in fights. That fight starts, it's even. Like, Bouchard and Jonathan are going toe-to-toe. There are a lot of missing. But, I mean, Bouchard's given as good as he's getting. And then they go for a solid, you know, five, you know, 6-7 seconds with right hands. And then as soon as Jonathan, they kind of grapple again and Jonathan switches over to his left. And that's when he catches Bouchard with the left. And then they go down and then he's, you know, and he gets another one when they're on the ice. And that's what kind of busts him up and opens him up. But it's like, you talk to some people and they're like, oh, Jonathan destroyed him. It's like, well, not, he landed one more punch, really. And then the one on the ice. And then that's what got him. And he broke his nose. I mean, like I said, the visual of it. It's like the same thing as the Clark McSorley one. The visual of it, of them bleeding all over. And it's like, oh, he obviously got the brakes beat off of him. Well, he didn't. Well, in Marty's case, he landed 10 times the punches Clark landed. Clark just landed the first two real good ones. Like I said, Bouchard and Jonathan was even. Up until Jonathan switched to the left and then that and landed the final shot. If we're going, he destroyed him. I mean, I get, like I said, he busted him open, but it's like, you know, I destroy, that's pretty stiff. But like I said, it's a visual of it and, it would be good. And I think I think the blood was so pronounced that it was like, especially when it was on the ref, that's kind of what did it, right? And it was like, that really, you know, like, I think even the announcer is like, it's not as bad as it looks. And, you know, there might have been some Homer announcers, but I mean, I'm sure his nose is messed up and whatever, but it's like, yeah, when there's blood and stuff right away, everyone know he killed him. And it's like, the actual fight itself was pretty even up until the end, but, yeah, that was definitely a memorable and nasty fight. And, I mean, I guess you can always debate what should 1, 2, 3, 4, blah, blah, blah be. But yeah, no, those are the final six here were solid. Should have just called it the top six and done that list, and it would have had a lot more, it would have been a lot better. I don't know about, you know, we go from Bouchard and Jonathan to Ferentz and Stillman, but, you know, okay. But, yeah, no, that was a fun little list. I want to thank Michael for sending that to me. I appreciate that. I did enjoy it. But there we go, folks. There's your nasty playoffs. How about that? But, yeah. Anyway, guys, it is 10 o'clock here. And, I think I got to go shower and kind of get ready for bed. 5 a.m. comes quick. But, I just wanted to get on here and talk to you guys. I had a few people reach out to me and like, you all right? Where the hell is this Sunday episode? Sorry. Back at it here. But, hope you guys, I know some of you guys, obviously a lot of you guys still watch hockey and shit. So whoever your team is, hopefully they're winning for you. And, you know, if you're betting THPN, Hopefully we can win some bets. Tim, we're not looking good tonight. But anyway, hope you guys enjoyed that list and hope you enjoyed the episode. And like I said, I know there's lots of hockey podcasts to listen to. The fact that you took time out of your day to listen to this episode and this show, I really do appreciate it. And thank you. And thank you for the DMs and the letter, the cards and letters. No, the emails and yeah, just the interaction. It's been cool. I love it. And again, thanks for listening. And yeah, guys. Let's get out of here. We'll see what happens on Sunday. We'll talk to you this weekend. Thanks, guys.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while I was on?